Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. T, while we were away, the NBA offseason officially became more interesting than the season ever was this year. You got Kristaps Porzingis and Phil Jackson going back and forth between their parties. Well, Phil going on his own, Kristaps out there in the media through his own people. Yeah, it sounds like it's getting nasty in New York. Jimmy Butler got traded to the Timberwolves. And I officially don't know what the Bulls are doing or what they're thinking.
They're rebuilding, Brian.
Well, they should have done that last year. They should have never signed Rondo and D-Wade and went ahead and started that last year. But that's another day. We'll talk about that. The Lakers are clearing up cap space, trying to go for some big free agents in 2018 with the trade of D'Angelo Russell and Timothy Mozgov to the Brooklyn Nets for Brook Lopez. And what else did they get in that trade?
A pick, 27.
There you go, 27th pick. Yeah, Magic's out there wheeling and dealing. Yeah, it's a lot going on in the NBA these days.
Minnesota just got better. They should have. I thought they would be better this year anyway. But they just got a lot, whole lot better. I think the youngin seeing Butler model like wanting to play defense and offense is gonna help them go a long ways. They got good pieces. Now they just gotta put it all together. I mean, I know they still in the West, but that is. If they don't make the playoffs this year, then, I mean, they probably just doomed to be not good again.
Yeah, it officially lets me know that you know, Ricky Rubio is back in the plans there. They have traded Chris Dunn, the point guard that everybody thought was fixing to take over his job. They traded him to Chicago. I think Dunn necessarily didn't buy into Thibodeau's way of doing things.
He was rookie, so how much buying in can you not do? Like, he wasn't a star. I think they just needed a... Wasn't he a top pick last year?
Yeah.
They just needed that to make the deal go through. And, I mean, Chicago needed something, and that was all... Like, that's a point guard. Rondo, 100 years old, he about to be finished. So, I don't know. Good luck.
It was definitely disappointing for a Bulls fan to see.
Good luck, Chicago. Y'all, they about to be bad for a while.
Thank you for the vote of confidence.
Look, the Lakers have been going through this, so you just get ready. It's just a process. You got to trust the process. Just trust the process, Brian.
Yeah. I'm going to trust it. Ain't got no choice. But, as far as what's going on in New York, is Phil trying to get fired?
That's the word on the street, is that he's trying to get fired because if he quits, he doesn't get the money.
Right.
But I would just feel like, me personally, I wouldn't be tarnishing my name like this. Like, he's known as a good coach, and can't nobody take his 11 titles or whatever away, but
right.
He's so ruining. Like, nobody's going to want him in New York after this. He's going to probably have to take New York off of his things to list of things to do.
I imagine he really don't care between L.A. and Montana. That's where he wants to be anyway.
Well, he might as well take them off. And I know that we trying to get Paul, but Magic, if you listening, go ahead and go out to see if we can get Porzingis. Go ahead and see if we can get him. I don't know what he's thinking. I do like the LePoint guard they got, though.
The boy from France. From Europe. Nigga, yeah. I'm not even going to try and say his name. It's too early. I tried to say it a couple times. I tried just repeating it when they were talking about it on the draft last week. And
yes. Yeah, here go. I think he, for what they're trying to do in a way, but don't know about the triangle is over. Like, just let the triangle rest in peace.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's. I know you and I were talking before we came on air. We was talking about the clip I sent you of Magic Johnson's highlights from the NBA Superstar tape. I watched that. If anybody don't know what I'm talking about, NBA Superstars used to be a little highlight deal they used to do back in the 90s. It's something that it was on VHS tape, obviously, when it first started, because it came out before DVDs, and I used to watch it religiously as a little kid. I would go on and on and over and over and over again, and I was watching the highlights, and I just remember going back in the day. I would try and emulate all those little moves that Magic and Michael and Larry and anybody would do. And I remember at one point during that highlight, Magic does a spin move where he spins in between Danny Ainge and Kevin McHale. I mean, it's like real quick, and he spins, and it was so pretty. He laid the ball up, and I remember using my younger siblings
props.
Yeah, they were the props, and I remember almost mine wasn't as smooth as Magic, and I remember slinging my brother halfway across the yard. But yeah, those were just it almost made me tear up, because I say all that to say this little bitty piece that the NBA is just not ever gonna be like that again. It's new way of doing things, and yeah, the triangle I don't see ever coming back as a
triangle. Is had its day. It won a bunch of championships. Now the spread offense is the new thing. And it'll have its time. And then the center or something will come back in 10 years from now. And it'll go back. Like, the cycle will always come. But the triangle ain't coming back. But the ebb and flow of the bigs wanting to play the wing. And some big man is going to grow up and be like, no, I want to get on the block and punish people. But the word on the street is, or some words on the street, is that, first of all, can the Knicks afford to buy out Carmelo Anthony?
I don't know how that buyout stuff works. I guess you just come to an agreement on a certain amount, but still, that's...
Because if they buy out him, if somebody got to appear on CBS Sports, if they buy out Carmelo and Dwayne, they'll be candidates to join the Cavs. The Cavs ain't about to spend no money for them. Because while they'll be at a lesser price, it'll be like themselves when they, like in a minute when tax-free weekend come and everybody raise their prices and then act like they really having a sale, but they not.
Right.
That's what it'll be like. Oh, I'm not going to ask for $30 million, but I'm going to still want $20 million. Well, can you afford that? And you already paying LeBron and Irvin and Tristan and Love, so probably not. Good luck with that.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens in New York. I mean, they literally would have to be starting all the way over again if they got rid of Carmelo for nothing, if they buy him out, like they're saying it's going to happen. And Porzingis, I think he's going to wind up forcing his way out of there. Or it's just going
to
be...
Well, he ain't got to do too much. I mean, it's his last year, his contract, right? Do the players have a player option? Like, this is year three for him. So don't the Ricky get a 3-year deal, or is it 4?
I think it's 3. So I think this would
so
be
he can really just let the process happen and then go where he want to go and look for a team in free agency.
As far as the draft, let me pull up my notes here.
Why are you doing that? Why are you pulling up your notes? I have found something to rant and chant about.
Okay.
NBA.
What we got?
Whoever listening got any kind of NBA contacts, people. This NBA award show. That's the NBA. Ain't nobody thinking about the NBA right now. Like, we talking about it because this is our last show and we didn't get to talk about the draft.
Right.
But what is this mess? Why do we not know who won? We know who won the MVP of the finals, but we don't know who won MVP of the regular season. Do that even make sense?
I'm interested to see how this show goes. I'm be honest with you. I'm not, I mean, just because it's ridiculous. They should have.
How many awards they got? Like 3? We got a year NBA. What else? And then everybody gonna go home. What are they gonna give out? Are they gonna start giving out actual plaques for All Star team?
I'm sure they're gonna be
NBA.
I'm sure it's gonna be like the BET Awards. They're gonna give out a humanitarian, a legacy award.
They need to cancel Christmas on this one. I'm so done. Go ahead. Did you get your notes though?
That's okay. Yeah, the NBA draft. 76ers, no surprise with the first pick. Pick Markelle Fultz. Then your Lakers took the hometown kid, Lonzo Ball. Again, no surprise. Third pick, somewhat of a surprise. I think coming into the draft, like the day of, the noise was it was going to be Josh Jackson out of Kansas. And then you heard some rumblings that Jason Tatum might be the pick, the forward out of Duke. And winds up being Tatum. I know Jackson has his stuff going on with his domestic violence issue he had at Kansas and all that in his background. I didn't see enough of Tatum, I don't think, for me to know whether he's going to be a good enough pro or not last year.
Well, I saw enough of Josh Jackson that I'm not taking him over to him, Josh. Like, first of all, he's injury prone. That was part of his problem. Like, and if you get injured in college, when you have all these days of breaks, what's going to happen when you got to play every other night?
Right.
With grown men pounded. And then Danny Ainge allegedly was like, oh, well, he was disappointed that Josh canceled his workout with him. Maybe he saw the 30 for 30 with the Boston Celtics and Lakers and then decided he didn't want to come play with y'all.
We will be getting into that in a few minutes. Maybe he saw that. We will be talking about that best of enemies 30 for 30 3-part series. We'll talk about that in a minute. De'Aaron Fox goes to the Kings at 5. Jonathan Isaac out of Florida State, who I didn't see but a couple of times last year, but it was interesting to me. He goes to Orlando Magic at 6, and then we get my Bulls are going to pick up Laurie Markkanen from Arizona as they get him in the trade for Jimmy Butler. Then the Frank Ntilikina.
Go ahead.
Yeah, from France. Dennis Smith Jr. at 9 from NC State to Dallas.
I think he's going to be kind of one of those Lillard kind of dudes. Go ahead.
Yeah, Zach Collins from Gonzaga, the center out of Gonzaga, goes to the Kings at 10. Malik Monk, this is where I really got interesting because Charlotte picked up a good one, I believe. Monk can play. He's a scorer. Michael might have done right here at 11, picking him up out of Kentucky. And then Luke Kennard from Duke went to 12. Who did he go to? My mind blank.
I have no idea. I didn't know we was going past 10, but go ahead.
I was just trying to get the lottery out the way. Yeah, so nothing real earth-shattering other than the Timberwolves-Jimmy Butler trade happened on draft night.
Okay, what was earth-shattering that the league don't should have never let happen was the Oregon kid going to the Warriors for some money. Now, that young man can play. And he 6'9", everybody, oh, he undersized. Who need a center? Like we've been talking about, they nobody had no real center in God knows how long.
Yeah,
so at 6'9", he can play if you depending on what your offense is. He averaged 2 block shots a game. So he at least trying on defense. He must have good timing or hops or something. And the Warriors just got a little better.
Yeah, I mean, at 6'9", you can play center in this league because you got the spread offense, like you said earlier, where it's just three after three, and they're raining. I mean, you're going to have long shot, long rebounds, so 6'9", he can maneuver around and get those long rebounds at the center position. So, yeah, that was a steal for the Golden State Warriors. I'm telling you now, though, I could be wrong, but I doubt it.
Hold on.
The Lakers. The Lakers got a steal with Josh Hart.
I liked him too. And when we didn't pick him at like 28, I was like, what is Magic them doing? And then I was like, okay, well, they got him late on. Because he'll upgrade Jordan Clarkson.
Yes. Yes.
To me, that's what he is. Like, he's not trying to shoot threes. He is like what's the little point guard that came from Utah with the afro? He used to
be Andre Miller.
He reminded me of that style of play.
Yeah.
Not necessarily with the passing part, but like going to the basket, taking contact, getting in ones, mid-range. Like, he ain't really trying to shoot threes. He probably going to have to develop that, but he going to play hard. He going to play hard on defense. His best ball IQ, it should be rather high. He's a senior, so you ain't got to do a lot of teaching when he come in. Breaking a lot of bad habits. So, I like the all our picks. The kid from Utah, he liked to step out and not shy from shooting threes. And the kid from Indiana, shot blocker. Well, I wouldn't say shot block, but he getting a fan. He gonna play hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I like all the little pieces that we added. These are good bench pieces. Like, now, if you get the 2 stars that you're trying to get, now you don't have to have somebody crying that they don't have no bench.
Yeah, and I mean, getting Brook Lopez from Brooklyn. Brooklyn been trying to get rid of Lopez for years.
And I don't know why. Brook Lopez is a solid center. He averaged 20 points. If it's not double figure rebounds, it's close. And he gonna play defense. Now he gonna try, and he started shooting threes last year.
Yeah, I'm sure he's happy to be out of Brooklyn. Cause
yes,
Brooklyn. Would
he?
Yeah.
Hey, oh.
That whole trade for Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce to Boston back in the day, that seemed to have bitten them worse than ever. Especially this year when they lost their first draft pick to Boston.
But people keep saying, like, so why would they take D'Angelo Russell and Mozgov? That was their only chance to get a player that's a number 2 pick. Like, that's the closest they were going to come to ever getting a number 2 pick in a long time, because they don't trade away most of their draft picks. Yep. And that's why they did it. Like, they'll just bite the bullet. They know they're not going to be good. They'll bite the bullet on Mozgov and hope that he might can get them some money. I mean, some points. A few minutes here and there without getting hurt. And
right.
And hope that Russell is everything that they thought he was going to be when he came out.
Yeah, ultimately, he's not proved to be number two pick worthy. Yet, but you never know, he could pan out. And, you know, a change of scenery after everything that he went through with his Snapchatting and breaking up Iggy Azalea and Nick Young. Like Stephen A. Smith the other day brought it up, and it's almost like he was chastising him for, you know, there is another side to this. Nick Young didn't have to be with all them women that he was bragging about.
That's true. And I don't know that. My problem is, Why would you do that to your teammate?
True.
Whether he was cheating, whatever it was, why would you sneak record somebody? And then you set him up because you was asking questions.
Right.
To make him answer. It ain't like y'all was just having a casual conversation. You was just recording it. But he was messy. He needed to get out of L.A. because he already had a big head. Now going to Brooklyn. That is New York, but his head going to come down some notches, I suspect. And maybe he'll at some point mature, and I don't see it, but maybe he'll mature and become a leader. And that was the main reason Magic them got rid of him. Like, they was like, he ain't no leader. And apparently he's immature.
staying with L.A., let's get into the 30 for 30. Best of enemies. I'm not going to really lay everything out there. Everybody knows, the majority of our listeners should know, probably even saw it by now, the 30 for 30 on the Lakers and Celtics, the best of enemies, the rivalry between the two teams during the 1980s. What were your thoughts? I know you saw it this past week.
First of all, it wasn't the 80s. It's been a rivalry for a long time, Brian. That was the 60s when they were stumping us. And maybe you don't consider LeBron because we lost like six straight times. I don't know. but this is what I've always told people. And this is a little sidebar, but it's still on the Boston thing. Like we've talked about, like I've said on another cast, like why can't people just be good in their time, and why we got to have the greatest of all time and we still got people, oh, is LeBron chasing Michael? You cannot tell me that winning 11 titles in 13 years and playing in a age when most of the people in the gym don't like you for one reason and one reason alone, and that's because you're black. And experiencing that and going through that and doing what you need to do, and you're not making millions. You're making good money, but you're not like these young men are now. Not even like Magic them were. And to be mentally tough enough to grind through that and be successful, how is it that you can never, like, why is he never mentioned when they say the greatest of all time?
Yes, Bill Russell. Like, for people who don't know who she's speaking of, she's talking about Bill Russell.
Oh, yeah. I figured that these people should know this now. 11 titles in 13 years, people. Come on.
Yes.
The only one. And he basically changed their team because they weren't like the Minneapolis Lakers was winning in the 50s. Mm-hmm. But then Arbeck came and got him, and then they fortunes turned around. Now, I'll say this, I cannot imagine, and I would not imagine, I can't think of maybe but one loss that I, and it'll make me so sad. Like, Jerry West still looked like he was about to cry when they were talking about that.
They make him out. It's funny how they painted him, and then it played into the fact that he's down with the Clippers, and there's a chance he might get LeBron, you know, in a couple years, just like the Lakers have a chance at him. They just play into the fact that he was like 0 and whatever in the finals.
Six, but I'm saying that he looked emotionally like when they talked about it, he still looked like that. He has been successful. He won one. Yeah, one against, but you won one. You didn't beat Boston. Oh, well. You have helped other teams build the Lakers, other teams that have won. Like, I'm sure he got a ring from all those Lakers ones. With Magic and them, because he was there. And now you done went to the Warriors and helped them win. And then when they talked to him, he still like he was just super sad.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job with those interviews. Like, all the guys they interviewed, they all were very emotional in their speech. Like, Cornbread Maxwell. Carr from...
What's the dude that cheerlead over there?
He got on my Carr. Last name. I can't think of his first name. Last name Carr. But
I hated him, and I still don't like him. And I love
him because they. I mean, he barely ever played. You know, he was at the time in his career. He barely ever played, but he was over there just waving that towel.
And talking junk.
And just running his mouth. Oh, I loved it.
I was like, dude, you don't just shut up. You don't even play, dog. Like, go sit down somewhere.
I love the part when they showed the interview after they had lost, the Celtics had lost to the Lakers at one point. And Larry had the interview where he called, basically called his teammates a bunch of sissies. Right. And that was what led to the very next game. Kevin McHale
doing a clothesline,
bum rushing Kurt Rambis.
That was a clothesline.
And the most awkward clothesline ever. But yeah, and caused that melee. But
I want to say what was funny though was like that man said he would have been put in jail for that today.
Right.
I
enjoyed the aspect of Donnie Wahlberg being the voice for the Boston side of things, and then Ice Cube being
the voice of the Lakers.
I thought that was pretty neat dynamic. You know, both of them being from those areas.
Yeah, that was really. I like them doing the monologue, the dialogue, or voiceover, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
I did like that. I remember most of that happening, obviously not the 60s and 70s part,
right.
But, and I didn't obviously see Magic with the, but I remember like the back-to-backs. I remember the crazy tip in and with
Houston, hours. Yes. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I had.
Well, I mean, I didn't see it obviously, but I remember hearing about it and seeing highlights of it. So when it happened, In this documentary, I was like, "Wow, Ralph Sampson."
And I remember just on Sundays, that's what you like. Sundays after church, you waited for the NBA game to come on, and then you went. Well, I went and played. Went out there and shot after the game.
Yeah.
Like that's what you. Now I mean, it was just so much love. I don't know what it was about that time. I don't know if it was just, now it's starting to be so much fluff and you can't touch nobody. Because I don't want people doing like McHale did that boy. Or I don't want people doing like Detroit did Michael Jordan. But I don't think that if you found somebody hard, that it should be these flagrant ones and twos and now you're just getting kicked out of the game.
Yeah.
Like the NBA, the playoffs should bring a different style. And that's one of the things, the style, the intensity goes up because more than, and they play harder, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
But it don't really, you don't be like, oh, you know, you ain't going to get no layups. You know, it might have been 100 points games, but now the score's about to go down because people not about to let you just be scoring 100 points. People going to lock up more. Now, like, what? Cleveland and the Warriors, didn't they average 100 points plus?
Yeah, throughout the season.
That ain't no playoff score. Especially not no finals.
What else I was going to talk about with this documentary? I like Pat Riley. I like how, you know, they kind of smoothly talked about how he got in there after Paul Whitehead basically had his issues with Magic.
But the problem was, though, did anybody know that he was a color commentary person?
Oh,
he wasn't even a coach, Pat Riley.
Did not. No, that was the first mention I knew of that.
He was right. He wasn't even a coach. He was a color commentary.
That was just me assuming that after his playing days, he immediately went into coaching. That was my assumption.
And then. It wasn't that he had no beef with Magic. It was that he changed the offense and wanted them to run all these plays. He got himself fired. Larry tried to act like Magic did it. Magic was like, I want to be traded because I'm not trying. I want to run and gun like we did when we was winning. And you got us standing around here making plays and then just passing it in Kareem, running a goal offense. Uh-uh. And then I didn't even know Pat Riley's name is really Patrick O'Reilly.
Yeah, it's amazing the things. There was a couple of things that I can't quite remember. Just little small details that I thought I found interesting during the whole process. I didn't know. Me and my dad talked about this because, you know, him being a Celtic fan. I didn't know.
That's why I knew it was a reason I ain't like your dad. I knew it was something about him.
I knew Bill Walton had come to them, but I did not know he actually had a year where he played a bit. I knew.
I didn't think I knew that either.
Yeah, I knew the year that he was hurt all year long, but I didn't know that he actually, there was a year in 86 where he played a bunch. Of course, that was the year that, like you said, the tipping in with the Twin Towers, Ralph Sampson, and Houston. So LA didn't make it to the finals, which would have set up the back-to-back Lakers Celtics 85-86. But it happened again in 87. So, hey.
Yeah, I didn't know that he had played for them and helped them win a championship. And what I distinctly remember, and what I'll say today. I remember Dennis Rodman, I'm saying, Dennis Rodman said that if Larry Bird was black, he would be just another player. Mm-hmm. And I remember them going all in on Isaiah because he kind of echoed it. And I was like, now people, y'all know the truth. If he was black, nobody would care. They were just like, he was another good player. And y'all know that.
I think the media just enjoyed Isaiah in the way that he did it. He did it with, you know, that laugh and just like, yeah, of course I'd have to agree with Rodman. Ha 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 ha, you know. And I think they just wanted to make a story out of something that, but they were messing with the wrong person because Larry wasn't gonna let that be a story.
Right, Larry came out of like, yeah, and what we talked about it. All right, I'll holler at y'all. Y'all finish talking.
You could tell he did not want to do that interview. He didn't want to do interviews, period. You could always tell the uncomfortable nature he had. He just didn't like the media and didn't like being a part of that whole spectacle. He just wanted to play ball. But
right, and that's all he wanted to do. And as much as I don't like him, he'll make it on my 5-star 5.
Yeah.
After Magic, of course. But he'll make it.
I just remember my other little thing. I love James Worthy's story about the Boston Hotel. How they were scared to even order room service. Because the way that room service would come, bring the food, and the guy's like, all right. You know, the concierge guy just kind of smiling. So, good luck.
Right. And who... Like, this is how much the game has changed. Can you imagine these people in this era playing in that hot stadium? And I thoroughly remember them people sitting there fanning, people slipping and sliding because it was so hot. And obviously, everybody's sweating profusely.
Right.
I was like, there ain't no way. They'd have canceled the game.
Yeah.
They would have never let these young men would have never. Because you remember when the guy hot in that gym and LeBron was cramping that one game.
Yeah.
And it wasn't this kind of hot now like it was in Boston.
Mm-mm.
I was like, Lord, they would never let that happen. You got a team, but it's like we brought our own fans, own food, everything, our own shower. I don't know what kind of portable shower they had.
I loved it. Pat Riley said they wouldn't let them drink the water, wouldn't let them shower.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
That's a real robbery. And then to Cleveland, them get some more championships, we really can't call this a robbery because ain't nobody punched nobody. Ain't nobody fouled nobody really hard yet. And y'all, they got 3 championships and y'all got 1. Y'all, this ain't quite a robbery yet. Y'all, keep working on it.
Yeah, but as far as this documentary goes, I've liked a ton of the 30 for 30s. I think by far, so far, this is my favorite. This is right up there. One of my favorites.
Well, you know it's one of mine. It would just bring back so many memories of sitting on Sunday evenings and watching the NBA.
But,
waiting for the games to come on, and my aunt was a Celtics fan. She would always call talking crazy when they won.
But since you talked about throwing punches, let's transition to my next topic. as you brought up last week, we should have talked about it last week, because I just assumed that more it would be made of the fight during this week, some more media attention would happen. It did not. Nothing really extra has happened, but as far as Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, they will fight here August the 26th, I believe is the date.
I believe
that's the date, because I know right now they're trying to buy out Ice Cube, and the Big Three championship is in the same building that this Floyd and McGregor fight wants to be in. So they're in the process of buying them out to get them to move to another venue, so they can have that venue in Las Vegas.
Charge them a whole bunch of money, Ice.
I know that's right. Y'all get your money.
If they paying these people hundreds of millions, y'all charge them a grip.
I bet Ice Cube was so happy when he heard that. This is going to make their budget for about the next 10 years.
Right.
I just, honestly, people are going to buy this fight. And like I've been saying, when everybody that asked me over the last couple weeks, as this fight has come to fruition, people are going to buy this fight for one reason. The chance that Conor McGregor might swing and actually land a punch. Because nobody believes he's going to win. Everybody believes Floyd, you know, being a boxer. And this is going to be a boxing match. Floyd's going to have the upper hand. He's going to be the defensive fighter. He always is. Mm-hmm. And Conor's not going to be able to catch him. But people, just because Conor is the talker that he is, and he's quick as, and he's quick. He's quick enough where there's always a chance. And that's what people are going to buy this fight on. There's always a chance he can land a punch.
Brian, let's be very clear. MMA and boxing are nothing alike. And even if he was the best MMA boxer out there, he still is on the lowest rung of boxing. He is not about to do... Mayweather going to dance. He going to get frustrated because he ain't going to be able to get no hits. The problem is Mayweather ain't got... Have you ever knocked anybody out? Maybe in the early years or something?
Yeah, like, very rarely.
So that's why it's just going to go on and on. But he going to get frustrated because he ain't going to be able to hit him. Because you're talking about a professional like Pacquiao, like men that do this for real,
mm-hmm.
like barely able. This dude is not, this is a waste of people's time and money. And go ahead and waste your money, because I'll just wait to see the highlights or whatever. I ain't got time for foolishness.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting.
If you say so, Brian. If you say so. Well, did you see in the highlights of this NBA thing? Because I ain't seen a 3-on-3 game.
They had a few highlights last night on SportsCenter.
Oh.
Not much. I mean, they basically just showed Allen Iverson come out. I think he was like the marquee game, the marquee matchup. And he was like 1-for-6 with 2 points. Played like 9 minutes.
1-for-6?
He's the player coach, so they were making a deal out of that.
Talking about practice?
Okay. White Chocolate, Jason Williams got hurt. They made some mention of that.
First
game, he hurt his hamstring, I believe. But that's okay.
He's running full court.
That's
I'm
okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. His backup point guard is the 48-year-old Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, a.k.a. Chris Jackson.
Chris came out there letting it rip, though, wasn't he? He still shooting.
Yes, he can let it fly. And, Lord, he looks funny with all that gray hair. But the reason they bring him up is because I saw pictures in an article written about him during the national anthem. He, you know, did his little prayer that he was doing in Denver after, you know, he made the, you know, obviously first thing he did was sit down during the national anthem, and that's what made media news. And then him and the NBA came to an agreement on him. He would just stand up and pray during the national anthem, and that's what he did during national anthem of the Big Three, 3-on-3 thing yesterday. So that was obviously media news for people, just to have something to talk about.
Well, to think if it's I saw quite a few people else. In this gym. So they got some fans out. Like, I don't even know if the WNBA teams be getting this many people out.
It's gonna be interesting to see where they go with it. If it can continue being, people come out this first time just to see what it's gonna be about, and I like the rules. Like you would, what'd you say?
So 14-second shot clock. You got 4-point shots, and you got all these. You got to clear the ball. I think you got to clear it even if somebody shoot an air ball. And I was like, oh, they ain't never played that. You shoot an air ball, I'm shooting my layup, but yeah.
Which a bunch of those are the rules on NBA 2K. They have a mode where you can go and play against people all around the world, mm-hmm. and you talking trash through the microphone with little 12-year-olds from Venezuela and you know Russia and all around the United States who and you know 30-year-olds who don't have anything to do during the day.
Well, this is the problem. And when I told my sibling that this 3-on-3 was happening, the first thing that they said was, are they trying to put the WNBA out? I was like, well, wait a minute. The NBA doesn't have anything to do with this. But if this does pick up and actually get some momentum, because people don't have anything to do until they wait for August and say, if they like football and wait for college football to start. But yeah, because I'm looking at a shot of the gym. It's quite a few people in this gym.
Yeah. I mean, it had a nice crowd as the pictures I saw. But
and with the way you're playing half court and the way they got it set up, even if you're not sitting right up on the court, you got a decent seat. Like, you don't have to even be sitting courtside to have a good seat.
And they actually had celebrities out. I mean, LL Cool J was there. James Harden was there. I mean, they actually had people there to see all this. And I'm going to be honest with you, my humble opinion, I could be wrong, and that's fine. This is going to lose its luster. These old men, already there's been so many injuries. Three or four guys went down in the very first game. The very first day of games, so these old guys are eventually going to lose the luster. People are going to stop tuning in. It's not going to be the spectacular thing they think it will be. And if it is, I'll be glad to say that I'm wrong. But
I don't think so. I think that when you, and for me personally, when you finish playing, you can't find the same kind of competition unless you're playing with each other in pickup. And so this will give them another opportunity to compete. Right. I think they'll see this year that, oh, I really need to be in shape. Because some of them may have been like, oh, I'm trying to get in shape, but they're not really in shape. And this will give them a gauge of, oh, I got to turn it up. I think some other people that we have forgotten about are probably going to start watching and be like, oh, start getting the itch. Like, yeah, I can't run up and down the court no more, but I can get in shape enough to play half court. And it's going to be at least 5 years. I think I give them at least 5 years.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Because there's a bunch of people out there that just, you don't hear about them. Like, Mahmoud, he probably been itching to play for so long, and it's giving him another chance. And this, like, he just missed the last second three. He gonna be just like in the league. He thinking, okay, I ain't never missing that shot again, and he gonna get back in the gym. And I think it'll be it's gonna be around for a while.
So we
don't agree on that one, but it's all good.
Yeah. Hey, I'll gladly say that I was wrong. If I wind up being wrong, it's no big deal to me. I just can't get past the fact that these are all older men, and it's just a little traveling circus. That's just my thought process.
But think about how long N1 mixtapes stayed around. And nobody knew them cats except for people that played. Like, nobody knew a name. They just wanted people to see people get shook or whatever. Like, Ice Cube, them smart enough, they'll start tweaking it here and now. Like, this is the first season.
I will say this.
They probably won't have a 14-second shot clock, because that's not a lot of time to be trying to get a shot off. Go ahead.
I was going to say this. Speaking, you talking about Ice Cube. He has a lot of big money people backing this, so he does have the business side of it going well for him. I will give him that. I like how they all have, instead of their names, you know, they all have their nicknames on their jerseys.
The answer and all that, yeah, on their jersey. And I can even see this happening. People like, what's the dude that played the wide receiver that was for the 49ers and then the...
Oh, Terrell Owens.
I can see some of them trying to get in.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They could expand to beyond just basketball players.
Yeah, because, I mean, he not the worst. Like, I don't see him play. He got a decent shot. He's an athlete. I've seen him going to be like he was playing football, but all of them older. So, I'm interested to see where it goes, but I'm more interested in waiting for my Lakers to figure out what's going to happen with Paul George or whatever, because some people seem to think if he go to whoever, we may not have a chance for him in the summer. Somebody need to call Klay Thompson and tell him don't be going out and missing dunks and embarrassing himself.
Oh, did you see that?
I hand me streaks. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Hey, boy, you better stay behind that 3-point line. What you doing?
Right, go out there and shoot some threes and sit down somewhere.
And he went up there so smooth, like he just knew he was going to take it down. No, the rim stopped him. The rim said, no, sir. But, yeah, I think that's going to put us to a close, unless you got anything else.
Well, do we have any new movies coming out? I know Despicable 3, if it's not already out, it's coming. Cars 3 did. We talked about that last week.
Spider-Man Homecoming, July 7th.
So Spider-Man is coming around the corner.
And this is the new Spider-Man, the one that was in the last Avengers movie. The Captain America, Iron Man.
And then, I don't know if people have seen it or not, but they got a movie called The Dark Tower with Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey.
I saw a preview for that. I caught the tail end of the preview for that yesterday.
Yeah, it looked like it's going to be a good movie. So, it's that time of the year, people. Find you some movies to watch until August when college football come back around.
Yes, this in that vein, this is our season finale episode, so we will be back in time for college football and the NFL starting up. So I'm not that far away. You know, it seems further than it really is. It's not that far. We gotta.
I need it to stay where it is, though, because Lord, my summer is getting by.
It is moving on by. It is flying on by. So, yeah. But as always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with
T. Have a great summer, Davis.
And this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.